Welcome to Black Hat Briefings 2001, held July 11th through the 12th in Las Vegas, Nevada. This is videotape number 7, the Nessus Project, reducing the costs of vulnerability assessment 1.2.
Little space. Everyone, quiet. Thank you. We're a couple minutes behind, but that's okay, because Renault wants time anyway, right? We're going to get started. Hopefully there's room for everyone to fill in. If not, we got an aisle here. Just don't get stepped on. Next talk, Renault Duraisin from Paris is going to talk about Nessus 1.2. Not yet released, but it's coming up. He's going to show you all the cool, nifty features and whatnot that are in 1.2 that make it super suave and everything else. So off to Renault.
Hi. So I'll start with a preamble. If ever you have, I updated my slides since I sent them to the Black Hat organization. So if you don't read them, it's not the same presentation as in the talk. And they are online. I don't know if internet access is working here, but they're on the website right now. I will start with an apology. Nessus 1.2 is not out yet. I wanted to release it today, and it won't be released before next September. I had less time than what I expected to play with it, so I'm sorry. However, I will talk about all the features that I already implemented in the CVS version of Nessus, which is called 1.1.something, that you can download already. So everything I will talk about, you can start to play with it. It will improve when I will release Nessus 1.2, but you can try to debug it. And the more you use it, the faster Nessus 1.2 will come out, because hopefully you will fill bug reports and I will fix the bugs. Okay. I will talk about a few features that have not been yet implemented, but I will tell you when it's pure theory. So it's not just a "it would be cool" talk. The purpose of my talk is first to try to identify why security scanners are often considered as being less cool as compared to IDSs, for instance. And why people like them but do not use them the way they should be. I will start with a broad overview of Nessus for those among you who do not know what it is. And then I will show you what will be part of Nessus 1.2 and what is the goal of the release of Nessus 1.2. And why security scanners are cool. Okay. Feel free to interrupt me at any time if you have questions. It's a long talk, so if you have a question right now, do not wait until the end. Just wave and tell me. So let's start with an overview of Nessus. Nessus is a security scanner, which aims to be used on a day-to-day basis. I will come to the day-to-day part later on. So it's published under the GPL. So it's free, you can do whatever you want with it. You can build a company to sell its services, some people do that. It runs under Linux, all the BSDs that I know of, except macOS 10, Solaris, and more. I got a success report on AIX today, so great. And I've been working on it since April 1998. So it's quite mature now. Okay, today we are at version 1.0.8. This is a stable version, which is rock solid, and that the one I recommend when running it in a production network. And the development version today is 1.1.2, and I will release 1.1.3 hopefully next week. And you can always install the development version from the CVS tree. I'll talk about it later on. So, as I said, Nessus 1.2 is to be released in September. Maybe this means October, you never know. Today there are over 700 security checks. So, well, it's quite complete. Recently, we received the Network Computing Award for the best vulnerability scanner of the year in front of ISS and CyberCup and all this stuff. So, well, I hope some people like it. Okay, I will detail the architecture of the software. Nessus, at the opposite of many security scanners, is client-server based. That is, you have one server, which is NessusD, which is in charge of the security checks, and one client called Nessus, which is just a front-end to the server. So the client connects to the server. The communication is ciphered. There is strong cryptography. And the client is authenticated using its public key. NessusD is multi-user. That is, each user has its own accounts and ACLs. You can limit the right of each user. So some users can just scan their local host, and some others can scan the world. Okay. Yeah? Oh, okay. Excuse me. Nessus is plugin based because being open is not just a matter of license. If you want to add a check and if you have to go to dig into the code, then it's not an open product. So since the beginning, Nessus has always been plugin based. That is, the server doesn't do any security checks, it just loads the plugins. And everyone can write his own security checks. Today you can write them in C and NASL, which is Nessus' own scripting language. I will briefly talk about it later on. We may support other languages in the future, but personally I wouldn't like to, mostly because of memory issues. I've got a lot of requests for Perl, but Nessus scans various hosts at the same time, so if you use Perl, if we use Perl, you will have to buy a terabyte of memory. And today, 99% of the checks are written in NASL, which is a very light scripting language. It's not like Perl. I mean, it's really, really weak compared to Perl, but it's convenient to write network-related scripts. All the scripts communicate through a knowledge base. That is, when Nessus scans the host, it gathers as much information as possible about it and stores it in what we call a knowledge base. So all the plugins can share the knowledge and make more complicated tests thanks to this, and more complicated and faster checks. A simple example is the UDP, the SMB plugins. You've got five plugins which reuse the result of each other. The first plugin gets the network, the host name of Windows host. The second one tries to log in. The third one extracts the SID and so on. And the last gets a list of users. Okay. Talk about the development process. I hear pages flipping around, but you shouldn't do because I modified the talk, so you'll get lost. The development is public. We don't hide anything, so you can monitor it using CVS. Or CVS web, it's cvs.nessus.org. Today we have two branches, which is Nessus 1.0, which is a stable version, and Head, which is a development version, which will be Nessus 1.2. Anyone can contribute, hint. You can send patches and bug reports, and this is really welcome. You can get instruction to retrieve the CVS tree on the website, and so on. And we have a publicly available bug database that people can browse. Okay, regarding security checks, the policy is to release them as soon as possible. And Well, which means that sometime we don't have the time to do full compatibility testing. I mean, when you write a check in a hurry, maybe it will spawn false positive. The policy for Nessus is to write checks which are more likely to do false positives than false negative. Because having a false sense of security is a bad thing. So when we do checks, they're immediately published, and then they are being worked on later on. As an example, the YP password check was released a few hours after the first token hits on BugTrack, and 2 days after the check was rewritten to actually check for the flow, not just for the presence of the service. But we test the check before we publish them. And the test, the checks I receive by mail, I check them before I publish them. And there's two places where you can get the new plugins, which is the web and using CVS. Okay. Nessus is really easy to customize. It's not a security scanner, it's a framework to do network-related operations. You can easily add scripts, as I said, and you can do scripts that have nothing to do with security. You can use Nessus to do quality of service, just to check for the presence of a service on a set of hosts or whatever. So it's really, really easy to turn it into something else than just security. And you can easily plug programs into Nessus, as I did for Nmap. We've got a system call which is called PTY-exec-VP, which is documented on the plugin documentation, which allow you to read the output of a process. So you can plug really any binary you want. You can use CyberCup as a plugin if you want. And the GUI can be extended by the plugins. We'll talk about it later on. This means that, a plugin can have very fine-tuned options. Okay, I'll do a quick overview of NASL. Oh, it's not all. So NASL is a very light scripting language, which is designed to perform client-side network operations. That's all. So it's really, really weak compared to Perl. It roughly looks like C, except all what is not great about C, such as memory management and all this stuff. And it's optimized to run scripts which cooperate from within NessusD. But you can start standalone scripts using the NASL command line tool. If we have time, I'll show you some example of NASL scripts. The great thing about NASL is that each script runs in a sandbox. That is, each script cannot send data to any other hosts than the current target, and cannot read local files or perform local operations. So, there is no Trojan plugins at this time, and there shouldn't be. Because of the design of the language. So it's safe to retrieve plugins and not inspect them completely before putting in Nessus. They won't send your etc password file to some account on Hotmail. Okay. NASL contains some high-level functions to make the development much easier. So you've got FTP login, HTTP GET, which forges a full HTTP 1.1 or 1.0 request. The version depends on what the remote server can talk. In Nessus 1.2, there will be a complete SMB client implementation. Today, Nessus performs already SMB checks, but every plugin has its own SMB routines, so it adds a lot of redundancy in the code, and everything will be factorized into a library soon. If you are interested in NASL and want to write to your own checks, you can read libnasl doc, nasl guide.tech, This comes in the Libnasol archive. Okay, one word about reports. Nessus can export reports in various file formats. .anasr, which is a text file format, easy to parse. LaTeX, HTML, XML, spiffy HTML with graphics, as you can see, and text. LaTeX and spiffy HTML are ready to use, that is, ready to be shown to the management to justify new fundings.
How stable is your XML format?
Excuse me?
How stable is your XML format?
Today it's considered as being experimental, so it might change. Well, I'm not in charge of the XML part, so I can't really reply. It shouldn't change now between the current release and the new one, except if someone comes with a much better organization of the data. Okay, that concludes a brief overview of Nessus 1.0. Now I'll talk about security audits done with security scanners. Any question about Nessus 1.0 at this time? Great. Yeah.
Good question. Can the server and the client be on the same machine?
Yeah. The question was, can the client and server be on the same host? And the answer is yes, they can. Okay. Security audits. Security audits should be done very often because, the world of security is a moving, is always moving. I mean, what was safe yesterday may be proved to be completely to be remote works access tomorrow. So it should be in a big network. It's reasonable to do security checks very often. They should also be done against the whole network and not just the sensitive hosts because, first, the threat also comes from the inside. Now there is the emergence of reverse shell VRs. That is a VR which go to the website to get the list of commands to execute locally. So what seems to be harmless hosts, I don't know, the secretary, Windows 98 box, may be, because of reverse shell VR, it may become the launchpad of an attack against the internal network. Even though there is a 10 firewall on the way, it will go through. So, and this is not really science fiction. I saw a reverse shell VRs, so, and I think there will be a lot more soon. And lastly, any IPv4 device can be a potential threat to the security of the world network. So, as I said, for the reverse shell VR, but even though, I mean, any hosts which can send packets can prove to be harmful. Okay, ideally, security audit should be done by a human being, which is the best tool to do that. Because human beings think, they can talk to people to get more information, such as which version of Windows are you using. They can work to computers to see if something went through. So, human beings are really, really great to do security audits. However, they are very costly and they do not scale well. That is, it's really easy to take care of the security of 10 hosts. If you have 2,000 hosts on your network, maybe it's not as easy to keep track of what's going on. So it's necessary to use something which is more dumb than a human being, but a lot cheaper, which is called a security scanner, such as Nessus. And some human pen testers use that, which is very bad. Okay, security scanners cost less than human being. Some of them can be free. They can scale well, but they do not think. A security scanner has a list of things to do and a list of things to expect. And sometimes it can be confused rather easily. So this has just tools, not AI. It just produces a report, but security scanners users have to analyze the reports and think about it. It's not gospel. Okay. Security scanners have two methods to test for security flaws. There is no name, so I gave names. Banner grabbing and actually testing for a vulnerability. Banner grabbing is great because tests are very easy to write, so it's easy to add new checks easily. The scanner is not intrusive because, well, it just connects to a port and gets a banner, so it won't crash anything. So it won't harm the remote hosts. However, what happens when there is no banner? Just imagine, in the case of the Y passwordy RPC services I talked about, there is no banner for this kind of service. So a security scanner which does banner grabbing, such as another free security scanner, will connect to the RPC port, will connect to the Y password port, and will say, oh, you've got Y password running. There is a version which is vulnerable to remote root access. Today this is fine because until this morning there was no patch for it. But in 2 years, when everyone will have patch is Y password D, hopefully, this will be a false positive. Typo. So it's not good. And another thing, what happens against weird servers, foreign servers? I mean, if you install an unknown FTP server, is it vulnerable to a standard overflow in the user command? You don't know. A banner grabbing tool will not tell you that. And what happens when bastards operator from L change banners just to say, hey, I'm running sendmail 1.0. So this will confuse scanners. And there is a case of Debian, which when there is new security flows, Debian does not upgrade the daemon, but just fixes the problem. So the version of the daemon is the same, so you get false positive. Okay. Banner grabbing is not what Nessus does, in case you didn't get it. Nessus tries to actually test for a given vulnerability. There are a lot of cons for it. It may harm the remote host. Especially Windows hosts with poorly written FTP servers, it may crash a remote FTP server, well, FTP or whatever daemon running on Windows. It may crash it, so it may disrupt the network. It makes tests harder to write, so it makes my job harder, and they may produce false positive. An example is a Microsoft FTP daemon. When you send a command, an oversized command to the Microsoft FTP daemon, it will just shut down the connection. So remotely, there is no way to tell if it's because of buffer overflow, or just because it called exit. So in this case, it produces a false positive. However, actually testing for a vulnerability is reliable against foreign servers. So, well, Nessus codes quite a few bugs since that. I mean, I don't know if you have heard about the latest qpopup 4.0 flow. It was a buffer overflow in the user command, and Nessus found it. The results are still valid in 2 years. That is, I won't have to rewrite the checks in 2 years when everyone will have patched the server because we actually test for the vulnerabilities. And we find new problems. So, and really, it's the difference between doing a security audit and a security checklist. A checklist is just banner grabbing. You just check that, okay, you installed the latest stuff. A security audit tells you if daemons on your server, on your network, are vulnerable to flows or not. Okay, the problem is that, question? Yes, no? Right. The problem is that security scanners generate a lot of costs on the net, when you use them often. The first cost is bandwidth. A full TCP port scan generates at least 5 megabytes of traffic for each host. So, you can quickly slow down your network because of this. Another cost is the service disruption. Some devices do not like port scans. I don't know if you remember the Cisco advisory called, which has a suite name, CSCDS073.26, which says that some Cisco routers may crash if you scan them above port 5000. Ooh, that's bad. And if you do that every week, users on your network will get unhappy, you know. Oh, it's Monday, the network is down because of the security team, great. So, well, it makes security scanner not popular. And the same is true for testing the flow. When you test for a buffer overflow, once again, against a Windows host, against Unix, it's less true because most of them use fork. But even so, it crashes the remote service. So it's not good. Another cost is the time to perform the audits and to analyze the reports. A security scanner is just another software, so you have to install it, upgrade it, maintain it, configure it, and get used to it. So, well, it costs time. A full network audit is usually very long, and during that time, usually, as a security team, you need to be on alert because something may go wrong on the network, so people may call asking what's going on. And reading the reports is even longer. It's on a big network, it's very common to have a 300 pages report because security scanners grab a lot of information about the remote host, not just vulnerability, but a lot of facts, such as there is one port open, or this remote host is running that kind of FTP server. If you read a 300-page report every week, maybe it's kind of boring. So we want to address that. And the result of this cost is that usually security audits tend to not be done globally, but just on a few sensitive hosts. The web server, every host on the DMZ, and maybe some internal hosts. And nobody has a real clear view of what's going on security-wise on the network because, well, we don't know. And so when I saw that, I said, okay, with Nessus 1.2, we'll try to reduce this cost to make security scanning easier and more fun and to simplify everyone's life. Okay, so what features? First, we want to reduce installation time. I don't know if any of you have already installed Nessus. It's a full archive. You have to decompress each of them, configure them, compile, install. So, well, it can take some time. So now we offer a GNOME-like installation method to install Nessus. You just type links -source install.nessus.org and you pipe that to a shell. It's dangerous because, well, if your name server is under attack, maybe it won't be the real install.nessus.org. So today it's as you wish. In the future, we should do that over SSL. Or maybe provide GPG sign script. The script takes care of everything. It retrieves the archives, configures them. It asks you if you want to try the development version or the normal version. So, well, I like it. And I install Nessus a lot. We also want to reduce the learning curve. Nessus has always had a GUI because, well, I could have write it as a command line tool. Honestly, I would have preferred to do that because I don't like GUIs and I don't like to program GUIs. But it allows anyone to start to get to have some work done because the GUI is quite intuitive. If you do not find it intuitive enough, just submit suggestions. So, well, you can quickly have an audit of your network. Maybe it will not be a full-blown audit because, there are some subtleties in the GUI. But at least, well, the learning curve is reduced. So we want to reduce bandwidth usage. If you do pen testing, usually you start by using Nmap. Then you've got a list of open ports on the network, and while you play around with it, with each port, and at the end you launch Nessus. So why do two port scans? Nessus can reuse Nmap results, so you just upload them in the to the server, and no port scan will be done. It's very useful to scan firewall hosts, because you can do a local port scan on your firewall, and then send that to Nessus. So you save some time. Also, the list of open ports can now be saved in the knowledge base and given a lifetime, and then reused. That is, you say, okay, I declare that this port scan is valid for 2 days. And then when you do, during these 2 days, if you do a new security audit, you won't get, Nessus will not do new port scan. It will reuse the first results. So it's quite handy if you do a lot of scan. Nessus 1.2 is really much, much, much faster, because now, Nessus 1.0 would scan the host in parallel. And now, in addition to that, every plugin can be run in parallel. So that's a lot of processes running on the hosts, but it's really, really much faster. You can also specify which ports you do not want plugins to be written in parallel, to be executed in parallel, such as Nessus comes with port 139, which cannot be done in parallel because it's a SMB weirdness. Also, the knowledge base can be reused to not run the same tests again. This reduces the accuracy of a check, because you say that you consider that the remote host won't change configurations during the next N days. However, you just make sure that you only execute new security checks, and they can reuse the results of the KB. So it's really convenient if you run Nessus in a cron job every night against the network, and you make sure that only new plugins are executed. So you just test for the new flows on your network. SMB checks will be much, much faster. It has not been implemented yet. Nessus does a lot of SMB checks. The problem is that they are very slow today because, we have our own DCE RPC stack. Each plugin reestablishes the connection. So it has to log in, negotiate a protocol, ask for the relevant handles, and so on. So it's quite slow today. Hopefully, I found a generous sponsor which will sponsor the development to speed that up. So you should expect much, much faster and more accurate SMB checks very soon. Another thing is web analysis. Web analysis is very, very tricky, because each web server has its own path to its CGIs, and every web server has its own homemade CGIs. And some of them are PKI-ified or password protected, but you want to test them anyway, because someone on your internal network may have access to the PKI network, but with bad intents. So for standard CGIs, Nessus allows user to specify the list of paths to check for. So today, the default is just CGI-bin, but you can add a lot more. It depends on the configuration of your own server. And, Nessus has a quite huge collection of common CGIs. But, common CGIs are not the most fun. In any case, a human being is necessary to do a full audit of a website and CGIs. Nessus will just take care of the most obvious flow. Homemade CGIs are very, very often less audited than publicly available ones, and very often they are all vulnerable to the same flows, such as value equals to dot dot slash etc password and all this stuff. I mean, if you read BugTrack, these patterns should be common to you. It should ring a bell. And usually these CGIs are not audited properly because, well, they have non-standard names. So Nessus 1.2 has two plugins which take care of that, which are WebMirror and Torture CGI. And did I say it was not as good as your human being? Because I really mean that. WebMirror is a plugin which just makes a mirror of a website and extracts a list of CGIs being used, as well as a list of arguments. And it just published that in the report. So it's, well, you can see an example of a website I'm co-administrating. So this helps the user to know what should be looked at. Then Torture CGI, for each CGI, will try to provide the CGI with bogus arguments, such as, well, the one I showed just before. I don't know if you can read the Apache logs. It will try every combination. Today we do 26, there are 26 patterns we are checking for, and we will add SQL checks very soon. So it's really, really not as good as human beings. It won't catch obvious things such as dir equals to etc and file password. But well, I prefer to develop that this way rather than just doing nothing. But if you really want a full audit of a web server, you have to do it manually. I mean it. Another thing is PKI. Nessus 1.2 has full SSL support, and you can... It's not the right photo. Okay, it's not a good screenshot. You can provide Nessus with an SSL certificate, an SSL key, so that it can integrate into a PKI and test completely web servers. You can also provide it with HTTP username and password, so all the tests are done, even though the site is password protected. And this is useful not just when, this is useful when we want to test a web server which has not gone in production yet, so it's password protected to prevent people to use it. A word on SSL support. SSL support is not restricted to HTTP. Nessus recognizes the presence of SSL and any kind of service behind it. So if you do SMB over SSL, why not? Nessus will be able to really test the SMB checks, even though they are SSL protected. Okay. Another thing to reduce the reports is to reduce scanning time is to make shorter reports. As I said, reports tend to be quite hairy. They contain a lot of information about the network, and they're not easy to read. And when they are so big, usually you do not see suspicious stuff, such as a port that suddenly opens. So Nessus implements what I call diff scans, which just shows the differences between the current scan and the last one. So you just get a list of the new stuff that appeared. And well, it really, really reduces the time just to scan. To prevent service disruptions, we have knowledge base reuse. That is, you do not recheck for the same flows again and again. I talked about it earlier. And now there is session saving, which is if you test two Kazillion hosts and the test crashes right in the middle, you can resume the test where it was. So there is no useless denial of service. That is, a host that was tested and maybe crashed won't be tested again because something crashed on the way. The something which crashed can be something else than Nessus, maybe the host on something else. Also, Nessus is easily updatable. So there's a command line tool called Nessus Update Plugins, which fetches the plugins on the Nessus website, installs them, restart Nessus D. Nessus 1.2 comes with a script called uninstall Nessus if you want to get rid of it, and if you want to install a fresh copy of a new version, because you don't want to get rid of it. And there is an install.nessus.org script, which simplifies installation too. Another thing is, when you are in a big company and you have several security teams, it's really hard to compare reports from different security teams, because everyone has its own homemade tools, and so not everyone has the same test base. So Nessus comes with just, imagine you have a big network, one in Paris, one in Berlin, and one in Washington, and a security team for each site. You want them to use the exact same set of checks. Thanks to the client-server architecture of Nessus, you can do that by installing one Nessus server and allowing security teams to just check for their own part of the network. So everyone has the same test base, so you can compare reports. Thanks to the ACLs, you are sure that people can just check their own part of the network. They won't try to scan. They won't scan each other. There is really no risk of misuse. The code has been reviewed again and again. If you find a flaw, win a T-shirt. It makes life easier. At the opposite, you may need to have one client for everything. It might be interesting sometimes to have different views of the network. That is, you want to see your LAN as seen from the DMZ, the DMZ as seen from the internet, the LAN as seen from the internet, and so on. And once again, with the client-server architecture of Nessus, it's really easy to do. Okay, just imagine this simple network. You have one Nessus client, and you have several Nessus servers, and the client will connect to each of them. So you can have different views, you compare reports, and in the future we want to make communication between Nessus servers much easier. Okay, the drawback is that it means that you have to maintain multiple Nessus Ds. The solution is to have client-side plugins. I wrote a patch for this. It was sponsored by Emaze, a company which uses Nessus. The client has a list of plugins to upload, and each time it connects to a Nessus server, it will upload the list of, it will upload the plugins. So the servers are dumb. Everything is just on the client side. So it really, really eases the maintenance. Okay, another thing is that Nessus can now do scans in background, and they can be done continuously. So you can configure it to scan the network very slowly and continuously, and ask it to send you an email if something is found. So you can combine this with diff scan, and you just gonna get an email when something is found on the network. This makes really security auditing much easier. Okay, another thing is plugins can now be selected much more easily in Nessus 1.2 using regexp. They should have profiles, SMB checks, as I said, dependencies will show up in the GUI, and so on. In 1.4, we want Nessus to be clusterizable easily. Every plugin will have its own description rewritten, so the report will be more complete and easier to export in databases or whatever. And there is a lot of new things to come also in 1.4, but yeah, it will be another talk. Okay, a brief conclusion, and then I will do a demo. Nessus is free, so you should give it a shot if you have not already done so. I really, really like it much better than Nessus 1.0. As a Nessus user, I'm very happy with it. I'm quite biased, but really, really, if you ask me between the two, I will say today just try the development version of what will be Nessus 1.2. You may prefer the scanners. I'm fine with that because I don't gain any money with Nessus. So if you know what other scanners do, just use them. I'm not an integrist. So you have a list of relevant links. The two most interesting being www.nessus.org and list.nessus.org. And the frequently asked questions, of course, because there is no need to send me emails before you read the FAQ. Okay. Any question before I do the demo? Yeah, over there. The SMB check, please speak.
Are the SMB checks in version 1.2
based on Samba? No. I did a rewrite of the client stack. Well, the point is, we want to keep the installation of Nessus really easy. We don't want users to type ./configure and then get an error saying, hey, you should install Samba and libxml and GTK and whatever and whatever. So we try to limit the list of dependencies. And also, Nessus does advanced DC RPC stuff, which just Samba TNG is doing. And Samba TNG today is better software. So we don't want to rely on potentially unstable software. I mean. So the behavior of some TNG may change. Yeah, a question over there.
What is the
protocol wise or?
Yeah,
well, the communication is done over TCP. And it's ciphered using Blowfish. TCP port 1241. It used to be 3001, but 1241 is now assigned by the IANA, so it's also a new official port. Yeah. No. Official. It's a standard Nmap output.
Okay.
It's a human-readable one. Yeah.
I want to say thank you for the product. It's great.
Thanks.
I've been using it for quite some time. Where do you get your funding?
I usually pass around after I do talks and beg for money. No, I started a company called Nessus.com, which used to sell support contracts for Nessus. And the support contract business is not that fun. So we should start to sell something else in September. So if you want to fund the project, go to Nessus.com by September, October, and buy stuff from there. Also, some companies can sponsor the development through Nessus.com by asking for special features. The French government has been doing that. So, I accept that. It's great. As long as the features stay in the GPL, of course.
Along those lines, who is responsible for the SMB code? Do they not want to
create? The SMB code is the French government.
The French government?
Yeah, some part of the French government which uses Nessus to do audits. Yeah.
How do you plan to cope with the new European Union regulations? Given the possession of some security tools are
offense. Yeah. And in France, they are trying to pass a law which is even worse because it makes the possession of tools which can disrupt the host illegal. So according to the law, shutdown, the shutdown command would be illegal. No, I'm not joking. It's serious. So, well.
I have a suggestion for you.
Yeah. Well, we might see that. Well, I'm trying my best to.
Yeah. Both French and English.
Well, we'll see. Well, I like France, you know, so we'll see. Any other question before the demo? No, so demo time. Okay. Is that working? No? No, no. Yeah, it works? No, well, thanks. The talk is not done yet, so just trying to. Well, I'll try that way. Okay, so I'm starting the NessusD server. Well, this takes quite a long time today. Plugins should be organized in a database soon, hopefully before the release of Nessus 1.2. DBM, just to not parse the file each time you start NessusD and to save memory. Yeah, question.
Why is it called Nessus? What have you got the name?
Okay, is that two versions for that? Official, well, what used to be the official version was that I needed a name for the project and I flipped through the page of a mythology book. That's the truth. Now someone came up with a better explanation. In the Lauren Event book, Ringworld, Nessus is a very paranoid personage, a very character, so paranoid, Nessus, checks, well, great. But well, it was picked at random. Or it can be, it can mean network. Network security standard for users, something. I'll come with it. Okay, so I'm starting the Nessus client now. Logging into the server. So in Nessus 1.2, by pressing L, now I can filter the plugins I want to see. It's a regex pre-filter, so let's say just SMB plugins. And I just get the list of SMB plugins, so this makes the selection much easier. We will want a full check. Okay, we'll enable. Okay, it's possible to enable all the plugins except the dangerous ones, that is the one which may arm the remote host. Yes, question. Today we are using our own made library because 3 years ago OpenSSL was in development and would change its API between two minor releases. What? We are using our own library today called LibPex. And maybe we will move to OpenSSL soon because now with the SSL checks we are linked to OpenSSL, so there is no need for two libraries. Okay, list of plugins. Each plugin has a full description of what happens. You can set a timeout for some of them. Okay. Okay. Some plugins can have additional options, such as the ping plugin, which specifies which protocol you want to, how you want to ping. The boon scan plugin. Nmap has a full interface. This is all Nmap options, so no need for Nmap front-end anymore, just use Nessus. You can set up, you can give SMB an SMB account to Nessus so that Nessus will connect as administrator or whatever account you give it, and we'll try to inspect the remote host registry. So it will tell you which patches are not installed or which permissions on the registry are not set properly.
plan on sending the SMB password encrypted anytime soon?
It's planned. Hopefully in the sponsor I talked about, it should go with it. But there is no time, no deadline for this one because, someday. Okay, you can specify HTTP login, some credential for POP, anonymous FTP, and so on. If you want to test FTP with a specific user account, so you can select an SSL certificate and so on. I will start with a complete scan of my network, my localhost, with just nmap. I can ask for several checks at the same time. I will start initd to. Oops. My NAD is full of security flaws. Well, yeah, security problems. If you have tried Nessus in the past, you will notice that it should go faster. Yep. It will be faster. The algorithm is the more the test is done, and the faster it gets. Okay. Yeah.
What do you do for command line interface? I used it, and what I saw was whatever you said in the graphical, the GUI, tests you wanted versus when you quit it and ran a CLI command, there was some sort of desynchronization of the tests that were running.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. There was a bug which was found for unknown plugins. Well, plugins for which no status off or on was set. It's being worked on. I want to rewrite completely the command line interface sometime. Not for 1.2. But I will set up very soon a web interface to simplify the configuration of the command line. So you can select your plugins on the web, and it will produce a Nessus RC configuration file. Okay, so the test is finishing. It was much faster. I mean, anybody here has tried Nessus already? Ooh, great. Okay, is it faster?
Yes, it is. Ooh, yes.
Yeah, everyone agrees. Except the last plugins, which will take more time. Okay, I can interrupt it just to save you some time. Nessus reports are organized in a GUI. Then you can select. You can work through them easily. Okay, it detected, for instance, the fact that there was a root shell running on POP2 because I backdoored my own laptop. Then you can select the output file formats. Oh, yeah, this is experimental. I won't show it yet because it's not ready. But Nessus should be able to export snort rules. So it will just check for. Yeah, it will be funny. I mean, it will produce huge rules, but so you can, your IDS will just listen for what you are vulnerable for. I don't know. Which one do you want? We can try LaTeX. Yeah. Okay, so LaTeX is a fun one, is a fun report. It's management oriented. It has several introductions, a table of contents, introduction. It gives a mark to your network, and so on. Okay, this is not as good as ISS yet. We're working on it. What? Yeah. And it's a little cheaper, so. Okay, so, as you can see, So that tech report is quite complete. The most eye candy is the HTML one with Python graphs. Oopsie. Oh yeah, I already did it. Okay, I'm starting Mozilla, so it will be slow. Okay, so, well, this is eye candy. People like colors and all this stuff. Well, the last one is not funny. It's the last chart is interesting in a big network, but I don't, I'm sorry, I forgot to bring a big Nessus reports. We have no internet connectivity. Nessus is CVE compatible. And, yeah. And I don't know if you have tried CVE. What I really do not like about the CVE web interface is that it gives you a list of links, but not the actual links, just the name, you know, BookTok ID, but you cannot click on it. So I wrote a wrapper on Nessus.org. So when you click on it, actually you go to, we don't have internet access. You go to cgi.nessus.org and links are added on the fly. So you are always two clicks away from the original advisory for most of the flows. Okay, any question? Yeah.
What about multiple configuration of tests?
Profiles. We call that profiles. It will be in 1.2. Yeah. 1.2 is not out yet, I'm sorry. It will be, today it's 1.1.2, but 1.2 should be released by September. And yes, we will have profile support. And more than that, I don't know if some of you have tried the Nessus WX interface. It's a Win32 client for Nessus. And it supports profile, and in a profile you set up not only a set of checks, but also the server to connect to, and all this stuff. So you can have a profile called My Network as seen from the DMZ, and you can just click on it, and you have the right check. Yeah.
Are there limitations on the number of concurrent users that can log into the SSP server?
Excuse me?
Are there any limitations on the number of concurrent users that can be on the SSP server?
No. I don't know. There is no limitation at this time. We should add some. You've won a shot you've got the courtesy of Aureli because it's a good suggestion. Multiple Nessus users will be tried in real life soon. In Paris, the company which is in charge of all the bus and subway will have one Nessus server for every sysadmin. So we will see what a full-scale deployment of Nessus users will give, and what limit we need to have. Yeah. Please, Lauda, please. The latest Win32 client is has cryptography support. Yeah. It's basically the same as the Unix one, except that it's 1.107, I think, because I didn't want to recompile again. But it's quite up to date compared to the Unix version. Question? No? Yeah.
Do the imports add the data also include the minuses, meaning this is either gone off the network or fixed, or is that
enough? No. Today, diff scans are not very powerful. They just show only what shows up, what show new stuff. And diff scan, by the way, is quite difficult because some servers like to greet you by saying, hey, did you know it was 8 p.m. in the afternoon today? So when you compare two banners at different times, it can produce false positive. So we worked around the time issues, but some other servers say, hey, this is a big random number. Do whatever you want with it. And well, we can't work around this one. Question? No, so I finished quite early. I'm sorry.